Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Rosh Hashanah is daf Gimel, second day of the Masechta. We are continuing from yesterday's topic. Thank the Lupin Foundation for the sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned Lezeich Nishmas Lois Lupin Zaltzman. And yesterday's daf, the beginning of the Masechta, we talked about the four Rosh Hashanahs of the year annually. So we celebrate Rosh Hashanah. We celebrate Rosh Hashanah primarily once. We get to the first day of Tishrei, and we call that the first day of the year. And to a degree, that's correct, but that's just part of the story. More of the story is that there are three more times where it's the beginning of the year relative to various halachas. So over the course of the next 2 weeks of the daf, we're going to go over all the different halachas that apply to the various Rosh Hashanahs. The Mishnah opened up and told us yesterday that there are four Rosh Hashanahs in the year. The first Rosh Hashanah in the year is Echad B'Nisan, so the first day of Nisan. So the Mishnah taught us yesterday that it's relevant towards two halachas. It's relevant to the halachas of Regalim, which we don't know what that is yet. We're going to learn that later on. The Gemara is going to touch on that point. I believe the discussion is going to start tomorrow. And the other, I think so, and the other issue that the Mishnah says is in terms of Malachim, in terms of kings. So when you're a king and you hit the first day of Nisan, so now you are in the next year of your reign. And why is that important? Why is that significant? That's so critical. So the Gemara says, yes, it is. Because the Gemara says it's important for Shtaros. So when you write a document, so you have to know when the document was written. The document is going to be dated. As we mentioned yesterday, their system of dating was not just a simple, well, let's just choose a year and let's call it the year. Either we'll call it from the year of from Bris HaOlam, or we'll call it from whatever, some arbitrary year, which is what we do nowadays. But in other words, back then, kings ruled the earth, and so they dated their documents based on the king. So it was necessary to know objectively what year in the king it is. So once we have a month on the calendar where we know this is now the year, this is going to demarcate, and this is going to make the year the king's second year. This is going to make the king's third year, and we all know with precision when exactly that point on the calendar comes. So now we'll have a nice way of communicating with one another. This is the correct date of the document. Why are dating on documents so important? So as we learned yesterday, we learned the Mishnah Shviyas yesterday because of the prohibition of predated documents. There are predated and postdated documents. The predated document, if I predate a note, so that's terrible. The Mishnah Shviyas says not only is it terrible, it's puzzle. You can't collect with a predated note. As we explained yesterday, the reason why predated notes are so bad is because what it allows a lender to do is to make a claim against property and to unlawfully seize a property, claiming that he has a lien on the property, but he really doesn't have a lien on the property. Let's say the property was sold before the origination of the loan, so he doesn't really have a lien on the property, but with the note that is predated, he can illegally claim that he has a lien on the property. And that's terrible. So once there's a discovery made that a loan is predated, so the loan is thrown. Not the loan is thrown out. That's right. We made this point clear yesterday. The note is thrown out, meaning at this point in time now the document is totally disqualified, and it's a milvah peh, like we said yesterday. So now it just becomes an oral loan, and it's no longer a written note. And the only way we're going to know with clarity and precision that the note was either predated or postdated is only going to be based on an accurate way of communicating which year it is. So once the first day of Nisan rolls around, so whoever is the king at the time, we are now in the next year of his reign. Okay, that's the first halacha mentioned in our mission. That is what we have been discussing. What we also have been discussing is, where do we know this from? Where does this come out that the king is going to be, his whole year is going to begin and end on the first day of Nisan? Where does that come from? So as I mentioned yesterday, we're going to have two basic opinions in the Gemara. We're going to have Rabbi Yochanan, which is yesterday's daf, and we're going to have Rabbi Elazar, which is today's daf. Two Amoraim and Eretz Yisrael are going to give us their viewpoint. Also, what we're going to see today, in the course of today's daf, is that there's going to be a distinction between a Jewish king and a non-Jewish king. Our discussion about the Jewish king and Nisan being the beginning of his next year, that's only in respect to Jewish kings. But when it comes to non-Jewish kings, we're going to see that he's not going to go by the month of Tisan, by the month of Nisan, but rather by the month of Tishrei. Okay, that's coming up later on in today's daf. So let us continue. So we are right now in the Gemara in Beis Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud, and let's just quickly recap. So Rav Yochanan says that where do we know that the king is from the month of Nisan? So he quoted a pasuk in Malachim Aleph Perek Vav. The Navi over there describes the building of the first Beis HaMikdash by Shlomo HaMelech. So we're 480 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. 480 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim, so Shlomo HaMelech in the fourth year of his reign. We're going to do a lot of history today. So we're all going to have to get grounded in a little bit of historical facts. And when I say we, I, of course, I'm referring to myself. So he's in the fourth year of his reign. So in the second month, right, B'Chodesh Ziv, we mentioned yesterday that the Navi refers to the second month as Chodesh Ziv. We're right now in the second month. We call it Iyar. Why are we calling it Iyar? Because that's the Persian name of the month. So I mentioned yesterday that after Galus Parasu Madai, after the Persian exile, right, Babylonian exile, however you want to call it, it's really both. We'll talk more about that later today. So the name of the months that we use is based on the Persian language, and the name stuck with us. Meaning we still use those Persian names ad hayom hazeh. But anyway, but Shlomo HaMelech, who knew nothing about Persia, there was no Persia, so he refers to the second month usually in the Chumash. So how do they refer to the month just simply by number? That's it. Meaning you'll go through all of Chumash and you'll see every time a month is mentioned, it's either the second month, Iyar, it's the fifth month, it's the sixth month, it's the seventh month, Tishrei. But the Chumash itself doesn't have actual names for the months, so we have done that over the course of our history. In the meantime, however, back to the Gemara. The Gemara says that it's the 480th year after the Exodus from Egypt, in which in that 480th year, in the fourth year of Shlomo's reign, so he started building the first Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara said, Rav Yochanan argued, well, anytime we're counting from the Exodus of Egypt, that's always going by Nisan. So too, when we're counting the reign of the king, it's also going by the month of Nisan. That was the Gemara's argument on behalf of Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, now how do I know that when we're talking about the Exodus of Egypt, so Nisan becomes like the counter, meaning that every time we get through a Nisan, we are now in the next year since we left Egypt. So the Gemara quoted Psukim for that as well. So yesterday we quoted a series of Psukim. So let's do the following. Let's start from that point in time in the Gemara, and let's see the Psukim where we know that Nisan is Minyan of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we are on Beis Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. So, a little bit further up. Sorry. Okay, more than halfway down the Amud. First word in the line is Minisan. The Yetzias Mitzrayim Gufa Minalan. I know we did this yesterday, but it's good review. So how do I know the Yetzias Mitzrayim itself is counted from Nisan? The Minisan Maninan, Dilma Mitishrei Maninan. Maybe Yetzias Mitzrayim is counted from Tishrei. And what the Gemara is suggesting is that as we left Egypt on the 15th day of Nisan, right? I think we can all agree. It's called Pesach. So now what the Gemara is suggesting is as follows. 5.5 months later, when they got to the first day of Tishrei, so what the Gemara now is suggesting is that's year number two. Meaning, from that point going forward, we're going to say that that's the second year from the time that we left Egypt. So the Gemara says, Lo Sakadach. The Gemara says, that's implausible. It's not tenable. How do I know that? Dichsiv, Vayal Aaron HaKohen El Hor HaHar Al Pi Hashem V'yam Hashem B'Shnas Arabim L'Tzeis B'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim B'Chodesh HaChamishi B'Echad L'Chodesh. So the Gemara quotes the Pesukim regarding the death of Aaron. So Aaron died in the month of Av. Rosh Chodesh Av is when Aaron died. And he died in the 40th year from Yetzias Mitzrayim. So in other words, so here's one marker on the calendar. So year 40 from the Exodus from Egypt. So he died on the first day of Av. And now we are still in the 40th year, and we're in the 11th month. The 11th month is the month of Shvat. So Be'echa L'Chodesh Dibra Moshe. So the Gemara says, So what's going on? So we're in the month of Av, it's called the 40th year. And we're in the month of Shvat, and it's in the 40th year. So we went from Av to Shvat, and we passed a Tishrei, and meanwhile we're still in the 40th year. So if Tishrei was the beginning of the next year, so then the next year should be the 41st year. Good. So that's the Gemara's argument. Now you see that when it comes to Yetzias Mitzrayim, Tishrei is not not the beginning of the next year. So Bishlam Hech Mefarsh Lisias Mitzrayim Alahami Maid Lisias Mitzrayim Dilma Lahakamas Mishkan. So the Gemara says, okay, of the two psukim that you quoted a pasuk in the end of Sefer Bamidbar, and you quoted a pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim. Now it's true regarding the death of Aaron. It actually mentions 40 years from Yitzias Mitzrayim. But in terms of the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, doesn't say 40 years from Yitzias Mitzrayim. How do you know it's from Yitzias Mitzrayim? Maybe it's 40 years from Hakamas HaMishkan. So the Gemara says, no. Kedama Rav Papa, Shnas Esrim, Shnas Esrim, L'Gzer Shava, Hachanami, Shnas Arbim, Shnas Arbim, L'Gzer Shava. So the Gemara quotes Rav Papa. Rav Papa's answer of 2020, Gzer Shava, 2020, we haven't seen yet that yet in the Gemara that's coming up in today's daf. We'll get to it, hopefully, later this morning. But in the meantime, however, just like we could say over there, it's Gzer Shava, so too over here, Arbaim, Arbaim, L'Gzer Shava. They're both going back to the Yitzias Mitzrayim, and again, now we can conclude that Tishrei is not the beginning of the next year, but rather it's going to be Nisan. So So the Gemara says, okay, now on this timeline that we're looking at, where we're in the 40th year after the Exodus from Egypt, so we're looking at two historical points. One, the death of Aaron. Two, the beginning of Moshe's speech to the Jewish people. So the Gemara says, and we assumed that the Av event occurred before the Shvat event. Can it be the other way around? So the Gemara says, Lo Sagadacha. The Gemara says, nope, can't be the other way around. It says, after the destruction of Sichon, now, when Aaron was alive, till the point of his death, Sichon was still around. Because we know that what happens immediately after the death of Aaron, we know that what happens after his death is, so the Kenani, which we're going to identify in just a moment, so the Kenani hears, now what happens when Aaron dies? So when Aaron dies, clouds go down. So our defense system is now down. So the Kenanim, or we'll put them in quotes right now, so the Kenanim see that our defense systems are down and they come and they attack. So Vayishmah Kanani Melcharad Mash Shemua Shama Shemes Aaron. So the Gemara here fills in the details. So they heard that Aaron dies. Venostako Anane Akavod, and the clouds went down. So our whole defense system is now down. Ukesaver Nidna Rishusli Lachem Yisrael. So they're thinking, okay, if their defense system is down, so let's go, let's attack. Vahainu Dichsi Vayiru Koleda Ki Gava Aaron. And then we can understand the pasuk back in Parshas Chukas, where the Torah over there describes that the Vayu Kol Eida and the whole nation saw. That's the way we're going to explain it originally. Ki Gava Aaron, that Aaron died. So V'Amar Rabbi Abba Al Tikra Vayiru Ela Vayirau. But in the Gemara says now we can give another layer of interpretation of the pasuk. It doesn't mean that they saw, but rather with a second yud, it means that they were afraid. Because with the death of Aaron, so now the clouds came down, and now they knew they were defenseless, and they were afraid. So Kedere Shlakish, Damar Shlakish, Ki Meshamish Bedal Lashon, then the Gemara points out that the word Ki can mean one of four things. It can mean either E, Dilma, Ella, Daha. So the Gemara says, so in the meantime, however, and let's just go back to that pasuk one more time. Vayuru Kol Eida Ki Gava Aaron. Because Aaron died, so the people were afraid. So as a result of Aaron's death, and again, now we understand. Aaron dies, clouds go down, the Kenani sees, the Kenani goes into attack mode. Okay, so the Gemara says that's so we know, just in terms of creating a timeline, that it has to be that Sichon only was destroyed after the death of Aaron. So the Gemara says, Midami Hasim Kenan Hacha Sichon. So the Gemara says, how do you know we're talking about the same event? Because we're talking about Sichon, and meanwhile the Pesukim that you just quoted is talking about Canaan. So the Gemara says that's easily resolvable. Tanu hu Sichon hu Arad hu Canaan. So the Gemara says Sichon happens to go by a number of names. You're going to see this is a theme in today's daf, how various personalities in Chumash go by multiple names. So Sichon, Arad, Canaan, same name of the person. Sichon she Dom L'Sayach. So he's called Sichon because Dom L'Sayach, he's like a wild donkey. So Bamidbar, mule actually. So the right Rashi, Ayar ben Sus. So he's like a mule, Bamidbar. Kenan al Shem Achuso. His nationality was Kenan. Umashmo, and his actual name was Arad Shmo. His name was Arad. Now Ikadami. Now the Gemara has a slightly different way of understanding the three various names. Arad Shedomel La Arod Bamidbar. He's like an Arod. Now I could say it. A wild donkey. Kenan al shem machuso. The name, again, Kenan goes to his nationality. Umashmo Sichon Shmon. His actual name is Sichon. In the meantime, so what have we successfully done so far? Okay, in this timeline that we've created. So now we have demonstrated that Tishrei is not the beginning of the new year as far as it relates to Yitzias Mitzrayim. So if it's not Tishrei, so the assumption is, well, it's Nisan. The Gemara, in just a second, is about to point out, all you did is rule out Tishrei. That's all you did. You didn't tell us that Nisan is the beginning of the month, but fine. But we ruled out Tishrei, and the way we ruled out Tishrei is because we looked at two events in Chumash, and we noted that those two events occurred with a Tishrei in the middle of those two events, and yet we're still in the 40th year from the Exodus of Egypt. So you see that Tishrei is not the beginning of the next year. Now that we know that, we can go back to the Pesukim and Malachim. The Pesukim and Malachim says that it was 480 years since the Exodus that we built the first base of Megdash in the fourth year of Shlomo's reign. So now, just like the Exodus, we're counting from Nisan, so too, when it comes to the counting of Malachim, we're counting from Nisan. That is the argument. It is a complex argument, but that's the argument right now, that when counting the kings, we go from Nisan. Now, the Ema Rosh Hashanah Iyar, so the Gemara says, okay, but now let's make some very simple suggestions, meaning we ruled out Tishrei. That's great. But the reason why we ruled out Tishrei is because we had two events that we just described. One event, which was the death of Aaron that occurred in Av, that's the end of the summer, and another event, which was the Moshe speaking to the Jewish people, which was in the 40th year, which took place in Shvat. So we have now, from Av to Shvat, the late summer to the early spring. So the Gemara says, okay, but that means then that any month outside of that time frame could theoretically be the beginning of the new year. Doesn't necessarily have to be Nisan. So the Gemara says, Ve'em Rosh Hashanah Iyar. So for example, the month of Iyar. We're right now in the middle of the month of Iyar. So the Gemara says, it's not going to be Iyar. Because, look, in the end of Sefer Shmos, it says, in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, Hukama Mishkan. Okay, the Mishkan was put into operations. Okay, that would be called the first day of Nisan, of the second year. Uksiv, and then, we're going to fast forward now, we're going to go to Parshas Baloscha, Vahi B'Shana HaShenis B'Chodesh HaSheni. It's now the second year, second month, Na'aleh Ha'anan Me'al Mishkan Ha'idus. So the cloud was lifted off the Mishkan, which is an indication that we need to start moving. But meanwhile, midikai b'nisan, v'kari leishan ishniya. V'kai b'iyar, v'kari leishan ishniya. So in the first month, otherwise known as Nisan, so it's called the second year. In the second month in Iyar, it's also still called the second year. Mechlal de Rosh Hashanah lav Iyarhu. So that's proof positive that Iyar is not the turning of the year. It does not indicate the beginning of the next year, because it would then be called the third year, not the second year. Fine. So we ruled out Iyar. The Gemara says, yeah, but we only ruled out 1 month. Ve'em Rosh Hashanah Sivan. So the Gemara says, let's go on. Now, why? Maybe Sivan is the calendaric mark of the 1 year to the next year. So the Gemara says, Lo sakadach dechsiv b'chodesh ha-shlishi l'tzitz b'nei Yisrael mitz Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says, because we're in the third month from when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, we are at Maimad Har Sinai in Parshas Yisro, and v'imisa b'chodesh ha-shlishi b'shana ha-shenis. Let's say, well, if Sivan is going to be marking the next year, so then we should be now in year two, not in the first year. Mibayle. Ve'ema Tammuz, ve'ema Av, ve'ema Adar. Okay, good. So now we successfully ruled out Iyar, and we ruled out Sivan. Yeah, but there still are the months of Tammuz, Av, and Adar. Those months have not been ruled out. So the Gemara says, let's move on. So we have now gone through, it's an Amud, starting from Rav Yochanan in the previous Amud, to this very point in the Gemara, and they're right in the middle of Gimel Amud Aleph. So we've gone over one Mahalach, one possible line of reasoning in terms of how we know that when kings are anointed and coronated, so the next year is going to begin on the first day of Nisan. So we have tracked it back from Shlomo HaMelech, going back to the Chumash, where in the Chumash Yitzias Mitzrayim is always marked by Nisan, so are kings marked by Nisan, but the Gemara points out that we don't have actual positive proof that Nisan is the month. We know it's not Tishrei, but we don't know for sure it's Nisan. So now the Gemara is going to try a different avenue. Because there are no Pesukim in the Chumash that indicate this. In other words, it's the Navi. It's the Navi Malachim that says that in the 480th year, in the fourth year of Shlomo's reign. So that's the Pesuk that correlates the king's counting and Yitzias Mitzrayim. And the only thing Chumash is going to tell us is Yitzias Mitzrayim. But we see us Mitzrayim, all we know is that it's not Tishrei. That's all we know. We don't know for sure it's Nisan. So the Gemara is going to go over a different avenue. Ella Amar Rebbe Lazar. So we have now the opinion of Rebbe Lazar. I assume it's Rebbe Lazar, the Amora, who is arguing with Rav Yochanan. That traditionally happens in the Gemara. So mehacha. Vayachol Nos Bechodesh Hashini B'Sheni B'Shnas Arba L'Machuso. And they started to build in the Chodesh HaShini, in the second month, right? That's ER. That's good. We're reading from Divrei Yamim, which corroborates with what we saw in Malachim. It's good. It's usually what happens. B'Sheni, B'Shnat Arba L'Machuso, in the fourth year of his rule. So again, everything works out exactly as we described back in Malachim. That were Shlomo HaMelech, in the fourth year of his rule, in the month of ER, he starts building the first Beis HaMikdash. So, my Sheni. Now, in the Pasuk, which we just read, it says, he started to build it in the second month, Basheni. Well, what does that mean? In the second month, Basheni. What does that mean, Basheni? So, La Sheni Le'erech Shemon Nebo L'Machuso. So, it means, second month from when we started counting his kingship. Meaning that what the Navi is marking is that it's the second month of Iyar, which, again, that we all agree to. Meaning the months start in Nisan. So the second month is going to be Iyar. So that part of the Pasuk we get. But then the next word of the Pasuk is, in the second. What does that mean, in the second? So what the Gemara now is suggesting is what it means is, in the second month, from when Shlomo HaMelech starts counting his next year of his kingdom. That's what Sheni means. So Maskev L'Ravina Ve'im Sheni B'Chodesh. So the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe Sheni over here just simply means the Navi is giving us pinpoint accuracy in terms of when they started building the first Beis HaMikdash. They started building it in the fourth year of Shlomo's rule, in the second month, on the second day of the second month. Maybe that's what the Navi means. Im Kein Sheni B'Chodesh B'Hedjah V'Ksiv Be. So the Gemara says, okay, but then the Navi would have been very clear about that. The Navi would have said, on the second day of the month. Navi doesn't say that. Ve'ema b'sheni b'Shabbos. So the Gemara suggests, well, maybe Sheni just simply means which day of the week? Meaning Monday. Okay, Monday is always a good day to start work. Okay. For whatever reason, maybe the Navi is telling us that they started building the Beis HaMikdash on Monday. So the Gemara says, Chad Zalashka Chan Sheni b'Shabbos d'chsiv. So the Gemara says, well, if you know Tanakh, and this is where I'm at a disadvantage, but if you know Tanakh, you know that this is not what's done in the Navi. The Navi doesn't do that. The Navi doesn't tell us that it starts on a Monday. Va'od meki sheni b'astral, sheni kamam, sheni kamam chodesh, av sheni b'astral chodesh. And also just context, right? We say this time and again in the Daf. You got to look at the context. The context of that pasuk, we're talking about months. The unit of measurement is months. So if the first word vayichal of nos b'chodesh hasheni is talking about chodesh, talking about a month, the next very word in the Navi is talking also about Sheni, the second month. So once again, now we know the unit of measurement is a month, and the word is the second month. What does that mean? So again, what it means, argues Rabbi Elazar, is that it's the second month from when we start counting the next year of Shlomo HaMelech. We're into the second month of his fourth reign, of the fourth year of his reign. Okay, Adkan. That is really the end of the Gemara in terms of this discussion. I mean, we have a brisa to go. I'll quickly run through the brisa, but basically now we have two approaches. How do I know that kings are counted from the first day of Nisan? So the answer is we have two basic approaches. One of Rav Yochanan, the other Rebbe Lazar. Rav Yochanan arrives at this conclusion by plotting the timeline of the 40th year since we left Egypt, looking at the death of Aaron, looking at the commencement of Moshe giving his final speech to the Jewish people, noting that there was a Tishrei that was in the middle, and yet it's still both of those events are still called the 40th year. So that is proof, says Rav Yochanan, that Tishrei is not the beginning of the new year for kings. If it's not Tishrei, it's therefore Nisan. The Gemara questions that, because the Gemara says, okay, we know it's not Tishrei, but we don't know absolutely sure that it's Nisan. Okay, so that is a problem for Rav Yochanan. I say it's a problem. Rav Yochanan, in his defense, would simply say, yeah, but there only are certain months which are eligible to be, you know, beginnings. So if it's not Tishrei, so probably it's going to be Nisan. Anyway, and then we went on to the sheet of Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar says, we can see it from a Pasuk in Divrei HaYamim, where the Pasuk in Divrei HaYamim adds a second number two. What is that a reference to? So Rabbi Elazar argues that's a reference to the second month in the reign of Shlomo HaMelech. Good. And Tanya Kavasa Rav Yochanan, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Now, as Braisas go, this Braisa is going to be just cryptic. It's just going to be code. I'll read through the entirety of the Braisa. The Braisa goes about 10 lines into the Gemara. But basically, it's going to be a review of all the Psukim. Meaning, if we didn't go through all these Psukim, all the Gemara that we just went through, the last Amud of Gemara, we wouldn't understand this Braisa at all. And even after I've gone through it, you'll see it's just a cryptic reference to all the psukim that we quoted. The Braisa begins. How do I know that I count a king from the month of Nisan? The Pasuk in Malachim. Right, Pasuk at the end of Sefer Bamidbar. Uksiva hibar bim shana b'sheyasar chodesh. Pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim. Uksiva achrei hakoso atzichon v'omer v'yishma kanani v'omer v'yu kol ha'idaki gavaron. Right, that series of arguments that we made regarding how the destruction of Sichon had to have occurred after the death of Aaron. And then we go to the Pasuk in Divrei HaYamim, which, by the way, is the support for the Shita of Rebbe Elazar. So I know the Gemara introduces the Braisa with the words Tanya Kavasi de Rav Yochanan, but it's Rav Yochanan and Rebbe Elazar. Va'omer v'hi b'shana ha'shenis b'chodesh ha'sheni, va'omer b'chodesh ha'shishi latzitz b'nei Yisrael, va'omer v'chalev nos. Okay, so that's the end of the Braisa. It's rather unbelievable. In a vacuum, if you and I were to read that Braisa, we would be clueless. But after having gone through the Gemara, at least we have some hint in terms of what the Braisa here is referring to. Okay. That takes us really to the first part of today's daf, and now we continue. The next part of today's daf is going to be dedicated to the following discussion. We said now that whenever you date your shtaros, you're going to write a note, and you're going to want to date it, and you're going to write the month, and the day of the month, and the year. So how do we write the year? So we write it in terms of the king. And when writing in terms of the king, how do I know what year we are in the reign of the king? So we look at the month of Nisan. If this is his first Nisan that he's experienced as a king, we're now in year two. If it's the second Nisan that he's experienced, we're now in year three, assuming that the coronation occurs before the actual month of Nisan. Okay? Ad kan. Now, Amar Rav Chista lo shanu el amache Yisrawa. Rav Chista now makes one very basic distinction. The entire discussion that we've had since the beginning of the Masechta until this very point in time is only by Jewish kings. Aval machi umas ha'olam mitishrei maninan. But when it comes to machi umas ha'olam, kings of the nations of the world, so if we're going to write them in the document, which the Gemara, that in and of itself is fine, but know that the beginning of their rule starts not in the month of Nisan, but in the month of Tishrei. So every Tishrei that they cross over will be now the next year of their reign. How do I know that Shenamar? So the Gemara now is going to take us into the world of Persian rulers. Okay, can we just go over just the basics so that we are going to be able to really stick with the Gemara and be able to follow the Gemara? Okay, just give you basics. First of all, no. Everything I'm going to say in terms of history is going to follow the Gemara and Seder Olam. Meaning, I will not, I'm not a historian, I'm not an academic. Okay, those are, okay, and and in terms of my knowledge of Gemara also, it's limited. But in other words, I'm giving everything over here according to the tradition of the Chachamim. There's a discrepancy, I mentioned this before a number of times, there's a discrepancy between our history, meaning our tradition, and the world historical view. It's not that bad a discrepancy. It's only like about 170 years, but it's not nothing. Meaning that So they added 170 years into history that we just simply we don't think exists according to our traditions. How to explain that discrepancy? So there are books written about that topic, and I'm not the source to go to, although I did read a little bit up on it. But anyway, and primarily what the issue is how long did the Persian Empire last? We're just going with Seder Olam and the Gemara. So we are the tradition that the Persian Empire lasted for only four kings. Okay? And it's really simple, it's really straightforward. So I'm going to give you our tradition, and then you can read up on your history and see what the other traditions may suggest. We were destroyed, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by Achashverosh. Okay, now I'm all mixed up. Okay, by the Babylonians and Nebuchadnezzar. And the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and then we were sent into our first galus. We went into at the time Babel, which then was conquered by Persia. We're going to see in the beginning of Masechta Megillah, it was a total of, I'm not going to get too involved in the years, although that is part of the discussion, Gemara's discussion, but just to give everybody a sense of what we're talking about. Nebuchadnezzar's rule was for 45 years. His son, he had a son, Evel Merodach. Evel Merodach ruled for 23 years. And then there was one more Babylonian ruler, and his name was Belshazzar, and he ruled for 3 years. Okay, how do I have all this committed to memory? So it's not because I'm a historian, just simply because you go through enough Gemaras, the Gemaras force you to know this information. So the Gemara in the beginning of Megillah, you're going to see we're going to need all this information again. So 45 and 23 and 3, that's a total of 71 years. Okay, then after that, the Persians destroyed, the Persians conquered. The Persians conquered the Babylonians, and we start off with a king by the name of Daryavesh. Just to make sure that we're clear, we'll call him Daryavesh HaMadai, right? Because there's another Daryavesh coming up in just a moment. The next Persian king was Koresh. The next Persian king was Achashverosh. And the last Persian king is Daryavesh. Okay? And those are, according to our tradition, the four Persian kings. Now, what becomes confusing is that if you open up Navi and you read through Navi, so when we read, say, for Megillah, for example, so we just keep hearing Achashverosh again and again and again. So, okay, so that's, and in our tradition, that's the third Persian king. We also read about, you open up Sefer Ezra, and you go through Sefer Ezra, and you're going to read about another Persian king by the name of Artaxasta. You're going to see that name come up in today's daf, but as the Gemara is going to point out, that's a generic name. That's like calling the king of Egypt Paro. Okay, the king of Egypt being Paro, that's not his name, that's just the generic name of the king of Egypt. So too, the generic name of the king of Persia is Artaxasta. So that doesn't, it just simply means he's the king of Persia. Okay? That is the basics. A little bit more regarding the basics. So we know that the Persians allowed us to build the second temple, although it wasn't that simple. It first started by the first Persian king, Daryavesh, who, when he conquered the Babylonians, allowed the Jews to start the building of the second base of Migdash. It was stopped by the next Persian king, was stopped by Koresh. Achashverosh had really no interest in the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. He too also stopped the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. We get no sense when we read the Megillah that Achashverosh was an anti-temple builder, but he was. You read the Gemara and read the Midrashim, and you'll see that he was. And then the next Persian king was Daryavesh, and he did allow us to complete and finish the building of the second base of Mikdash. Okay, we have a Medrash, and you're going to see, I'll show you Tosfos later on as well, that Daryavesh is a product of a union between Esther and Achashverosh.
That big party that Achashverosh had,
correct, absolutely correct. The Gemara relates it to that to us as well. He was an anti-temple. So the fine. So that's the those are the very basics. And now with all that stated, so now let's begin. We are going to go through the Gemara. Now Rav Chisda is going to teach us that when it comes to the Umas HaOlam, writing a calendar, writing a document, basing it on the kings of the nations of the world. So it doesn't go by Nisan; it goes by Tishrei. And now we're going to construct an argument that this is in fact so. We're on the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph. We are continuing. So, Shenamar. So now we're in the 20th year. We are by Nehemiah. We are in the 20th year of Daryavish. Not the first one. We're now by the fourth one. In the 20th year, Vexiv, Ayhi Bechodesh. Now, I'm sorry. Now, it's important to look at the months because, the argument we're going to make is that it's not Nisan, but it's going to be Tishrei. So we are by Nehemiah ben Chachilai, and we are in Vayhi B'chodesh Kislev, right? That's the month of Kislev in the 20th year. Uksiv Vayhi B'chodesh Nisan Shnas Esrim La'artach Shasta, and we are now in the month of Nisan in the 20th year of Artach Shasta. So good. So what do you see? We're in Kislev in year 20. We're in Nisan in year 20. And the assumption the Gemara is making, and the Gemara is going to validate its assumption in just a moment, is that it's the same year. Meaning we started in Kislev, we moved forward to Nisan, and we're still in the 20th year. So you see, if Nisan would have been the turning point, so then that would have been the 21st year. And the Gemara articulates. Midikabi Kislev, the correlation of Sasrim, the Kabi Nisan, the correlation of Sasrim, Mechlal de Rosh Hashanah, Lav Nisan Hu. Okay, that's the argument. It's a pretty sound argument. Bishlam Ahach Mefarsh Dela Artach Shasta, Elahai Mimai Dela Artach Shasta, Dilma Leminyana Achrina Hu. So the Gemara says, look, you quoted two psukim from Sefer Nehemiah. The second pasuk clearly is telling us that we're counting 20 years going back to the ruling of Artach Shasta. But that first pasuk just simply says 20 years. It doesn't say 20 years from what. So how do I know that first pasuk is in reference to counting from the king? And now we get to see Rav Papa in the original. Amar Rav Papa, top of Gimel Amud Beis, Shnas Esrim Shana, Esrim L'Gzeira Shava, Mahas Amar Tach Shasta, Afkan L'Artach Shasta. So it's L'Gzeira Shava. We assume that if the number 20 is used in both locations, it's going back to the beginning of the rule of Artach Shasta.
It's a generic name, so it's difficult to say it belongs to a certain kingdom.
Okay, it's difficult, but in the context of the Navi, and given that our tradition only has four, so it's a... But what he's arguing is that it's a different king. It could be another king, which again, it's a plausible argument. Okay, the Gemara is going to touch on that point. To that, the answer is simply yes. Again, we're not learning right now halacha straight out of Navi. We're just establishing points in the Navi. So in order to establish a point in the Navi, so yes, the Gemara uses Gzeira Shava. Now again, Gzeira Shava by Navi, is that the same rules as Gzeira Shava by Chumash? We know by Chumash, Gzeira Shava, which actually produces halacha, so that only can be done as a Kabbalah, as a tradition. The Gemara over here is it the same exact point? I'm not sure, but anyway. So the Gemara says now, yes, you could also make the following argument. Look, we have a timeline. We know we're in the 20th year since the new Persian king, right? We'll call him Daryavish. We'll also call him Artach Shasta. But the Gemara just simply, and let's assume right now it's the same king. But again, how do I know that the event in Kislev took place before the event in Nisan? Can't we make the argument that the event in Nisan took place first? Now, granted, in the order of the Navi, you have the Kislev event happening in the first parak, and the Nisan event happening in the second parak, but the Navi doesn't necessarily give the events in chronological order, so that is not enough proof. The Gemara will give more proof. So the Gemara says, Lo sakadacha detayin. The Gemara now is going to quote a brisa. Okay, strap yourselves in. This is a long brisa. And we're going to be quoting a lot of Navi today. So, Dvarim Shenamar, Chananya LeNehemiah B'Kislev, Amara Nehemiah LeMelech B'Nisan. So the Brisa over here describes how a report came to Nehemiah. Now remember, we are at the end of the Babylonian exile. It's not even Babel anymore. Babel's gone. It's now Persia. And we're at the end, and we're also well into the building of the second base of Mikdash. As I described a moment ago, the last Persian king, Daryavish, allowed for the building of the Bayis Sheni, and he allowed it somewhere in the sixth year of his rule. We are now in the 20th year of his rule, so we're 14 years after, well into the building of the second base of Mikdash. Okay. Furthermore, at this point in time, so as we described this a number of times in the Daf, the only were a handful of Jews who went from Bavel back to Eretz Yisrael to build the second base of Mikdash. Most of the Jews were very comfortable and happy in Bavel, did not want to go. It was only a handful of Jews. History repeats itself often. Here's one of those really good examples. So only a handful of Jews went back to Eretz Yisrael to build the second base of Mikdash. And not only was it a handful of Jews, but they were really poor. And so over here now, a report is being given over from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Nehemiah at the time was in Bavel. Nehemiah at the time was serving the Persian king. And so now, basically, the sequence of events is that Nehemiah receives word, and then he's going to pass it on to the king. When does he receive word? In Kislev. When does he pass it on to the king? In the month of Nisan. So, Dvarim she'nemar chananya lenehemiah bekislev amar nehemiah lamelech menisan. I think if we lived at the time and we understood what it meant to talk to a king, I think we would understand better. Yes, the answer to your question is yes. It's going to be clear from the Gemara. Okay, but again, hard for us to say. We live in a world of communication. So, Dvarim she'nemar chananya lenehemiah bekislev she'nemar. And so here now we quote Psukim. So first of all, the report that was given to Nehemiah. So over here, the Navi describes how he was in Shushan, meaning Nehemiah. So I made an inquiry. I asked how the Jews doing over there in Israel. So and they said to me, "Hanisharim, this is all Psukim from the Navi. Hanisharim, Asher Nisharim, and Ashvi, Sham b'Medina b'Ra Gedola." So they're doing terribly. Uvecherpa, v'chomis Yerushalayim mufaretzes, and the walls of Jerusalem are breached. Ushara nitzasu be'esh, and the walls are burnt in fire. Amra Nehemiah l'Melech Menisan. So all that was reported to Nehemiah in the month of Kislev. And yes, it is odd that's in other words, obviously Kislev. So obviously that's terrible news that's being passed to Nehemiah, and yes, it's odd that it takes him now, 4 months later, for him to report this to the king. But as you'll see, however, it's not easy to speak to the king, and in fact, the conversation was actually prompted by the king. So Amar Nehemiah Lamelech Benisan Shenamar Vayibachosh Nisan Shnasas from Artachshasta. So now it's the 20th year of Artachshasta, and again the assumption is Artachshasta is one and the same as Dayavish. Hamelch Yain Lefanav Vasa Es Ayin VeEnal Lamelech. And now I gave wine to the king. V'lo Ayisi Ralefanav Vayomali Amelech Madu Panecha Raim. And I came in and I was totally depressed, and he notices my look and he asked me the question. What's going on? Now I know you're not physically ill, so this is not a physical ailment, it's psychological. And what's going on with you? He says, it's a depression. Okay, so Daryavish was a clinical psychologist. So V'ira harbe ma'od. V'omer l'melech ha'melech la'olam yechyeh. So so I speak to the king, and long live the king. And Madulo Yurupanai, Asher Ha'ir based Kavros of Asai Kharva. And he goes on to describe how the city, my hometown of Jerusalem is destroyed, Ushara Uchla Ba'esh, and the walls are consumed in fire. Vayomali Amelch Amaza Atam Vakesh Vaspalal El Aloke Hashamayim. And so the king says, okay, you have my full attention. So, right, and he's a believer in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, and tell me what to do, and I'll pray to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Vayomal Amelch Imal Amelch Tov. Right, you know Megillas Esther. You hear the same. Right, it's literally the same lashon. Im al amelach tov, im yitav avdechal afanecha, asher teshacheni el Yehuda el ir kavros avasai ve'evnena. So he says, you know what? Send me to Jerusalem. Let me go to my brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. Help them build the second base of Mikdash. I can guess. I don't know.
Mordechai was part of the.
Okay, again, it's a reasonable question. I'm only going to give you speculation. I'm not going to give you information. So, Vayomer li hamelech v'ashagel yoshev eslo. And so the king tells me, and by the way, the Navi says parenthetically, there was a shagel sitting alongside him. Now, shagel, you know, chumash, you know, shagel is not it's not a positive term. It's a very pejorative term. It's usually a reference to a woman, but in a very pejorative manner. So stay tuned till tomorrow's daf. right? I try to get you to come back tomorrow. So stay tuned to tomorrow's daf. Well, the Gemara is going to come back to this Pasuk and Navi, and the Gemara is going to ask who's sitting next to him, and who is that a reference to? Okay, so come back tomorrow. So on Masai Yeh Mahalachacha Umasai Tashuv Vayitav Lefnei Amelch Vayishachen Ve'enelo Zman. And so it ends up with me presenting wine to the king, me asking the king to send me, this Nehemiah talking, asking the king to send me, and basically the king said, yeah, go ahead.
Is it this Darab Yoresh, the son of Esther?
The Medrash says yes. We're not going to see that in the Gemara. Okay, the Gemara will not tell us that. But the Midrashim say yes, and I'll show you a Tosfos today. Yeah. Again, it's very fair to speculate, and the Midrashim do speak to this idea. The Gemara will not say that. Okay, we don't see that in the Gemara. In the meantime, what do we get from all this? Okay, so what we got from all this is that now we have an accurate timeline. We know what the timeline is. The timeline is that Nehemiah received the news in Kislev in the 20th year of the Persian king that things are not going well in Jerusalem with the Jewish people building the second base of Mikdash, and then in the month of Nisan, 4 months later. So now he speaks to the king, and he tells the king things are really not going well. So what do we see? We have Kislev, we have Nisan. Both of them are in the 20th year of the Persian rule. So you see that Nisan is not the beginning of the next year of the non-Jewish kings. So even though we learned the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that when it comes to kings, we count kings from the month of Nisan, that's Jewish kings. When it comes to non-Jewish kings, we count from the month of Tishrei. Mesav Rav Yosef challenges Ben Yamesrim Varabala Chodesh Bashisha Bishnashtim Shtaim Ladar Yavish Uksiv Bashvi'i Bishnashtaim Be'esrim Ve'echad Lachodesh. So the Gemara, so Rav Yosef challenges based on another set of psukim in the Navi. The Navi describes how it was the 24th day of the 6th month in the second year of Dar Yavish. And then, take a look at that next pasuk, it says, in the 7th month. Now, when the 7th month is Tishrei. So we went from Elul to Tishrei, and we're both in the second year of Daryavish's rule. If you are right, so then we should be in the 3rd year. The Gemara articulates this very question. The Emisa b'shvi b'shnas gimel mibayilei. So that is a strong question. Amar Rabbi Abahu Koresh Melech Kasher Haya. The Gemara gives a fascinating answer. The Gemara says, well, we're describing over here Koresh. Koresh, he was a good king. So he was a good king, so we're going to give him the status of a Jewish king. And therefore, Nisan is going to be where we're marking him. Now, mind you, and I find this to be so, that basically the whole point of this exercise is to make sure that we all have our dates correct, and we're looking at contracts, and we're all good. And we know. And now the Gemara added another wrinkle to the whole discussion. Well, if it's a non-Jewish king, but he behaves good, so we're going to give him Jewish status, and therefore he's going to go by the month of Nisan, not by the month of Tishrei. Right. So it's going to complicate. It has to complicate. So look. Again, that's our speculation, and it's reasonable speculation, but we don't know that to be so. So the Melch Kasher Ayel Fichach Manulah Kamach Yisrael. So Maskev La Rav Yosef Chadadim Kain Kasher Kray Adadi Dichsiv Vishiyat Sabisa Dana Ad Yom Tassel Yerech Adar Diushna Shis La Malchus Dayavish Malka. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Ezra. Now, if all that sounded Aramaic to you, it's good. It's actually in Aramaic. So, but anyway, but the point is that we are in the 6th year of Melech Yavesh in the month of Adar. V'tanya b'osos man l'shana haba ala Ezra mibavo v'galu so'emo. And it was in that 6th year where Ezra goes up. Remember, Nehemiah stayed back for another 14 years. Ezra was the one who went up in the 6th year of Daryavish's reign. And he goes up, v'ksiv ha'yavo yushalayim b'chor shachamishi hishnas hashvis l'melech. And he goes up in the 5th month, and it is the 7th year of the king. So the emisa shnas hashminis mi ba'elei. Now, just give me one moment. So now we went from Adar, and we went from Adar in, and we go now to the 5th month. The fifth month is Av, and so now, and we're going, and we're still in the 6th year. And what bothers the Gemara now is that if we were Right? It goes to the seventh year. Thank you. And if we were counting him as a kosher king, so and then Nisan should be the month, so then we should be the eighth year. And then furthermore, the Gemara is bothered by the fact that, look, you're told, we're having two different discussions, aren't we? Meaning, we're describing the king Daryavish, and meanwhile, you're quoting Pesukim regarding Koresh. So the Gemara says, that's not a problem. So again, I told you a big theme of today's daf is going to be people having multiple names. So here it comes now for a second time today. Tana, who Koresh, who Daryavish, who Artachshasta. So the Gemara says that this, again, based on our tradition, this fourth king of Persia, first it was Daryavish Hamadai, then it was the king which we call Koresh, then it was Achashverosh, and then it's this fourth king, so you can call him Daryavish, Koresh, Artachshasta. Now, why those three different names? So number one, Koresh Melch Kasher Haya. So Koresh, take the letters Koresh, scramble them. Koresh also comes out to Kasher, right? Kasher king, good king. Again, we could speculate how he was the son of Esther, but just on the simplest level, he allowed us to build the second base of Mikdash. Okay, so Kasher. And Artachshasta Hashem Achuso. And again, Artachshasta, because every king in Persia was called Artachshasta, Umashmo Daryavishmo, and his actual name was Daryavish. So what do you see? So you see over here that he was kosher, he was good, and when we're dating a document based on the years of Daryavish / Koresh / Artachshasta, so when dating a document, so for him, we'll go by Nisan. Why are we going to go by Nisan? Good guy. So that's why we're going to go by Nisan. Problem now becomes, yeah, but then when we go back to the Pesukim that we quoted earlier, and say for Nehemiah, so that's not how we did it. We didn't do it by Nisan. We did it by Tishrei. Let's just finish up with this. Mikoma kom kasha, amar v'yiskak lo kasha, kan konan shehichmitz, kan la'achar shehichmitz. So the Gemara says, and this is where things are going to get really complicated. So then the Gemara says, look, Koresh started out great. Wonderful. We'll call him Koresh, we'll call him Daryavish, we'll call him Artachshasta, we'll call him the fourth king of Persia. So he was wonderful. He was great. He allowed the building of the second base of Mikdash, right, in his sixth year. He allowed Nehemiah to go back to Eretz Yisrael in his 20th year. He is great. However, at one point in time, he soured, he changed, and when he did, so no longer did we give him the Nisan dating. We switched him back to Tishrei dating. You're now like a regular king of the Umos HaOlam. You're going to go, you're right? We are. It's like a censorship of the king. You know what? You're no longer a Nisan king. You're a Tishrei king.
Your point.
I'm not giving you argument on your point. I'm with you on your point. The whole reason why we're doing this is to make calendars smooth and streamlined, and I'm with you. In the meantime, however, let's wrap it up.
Okay. The first Koresh also, the other was kosher, and his name is also Artachshasta.
Okay.
So basically, there's only one reason.
Okay.
No
argument.
How did Nehemiah go in the sixth year when they started building the second year? Ezra. How did Ezra do it? Ezra gave everybody an argument, let's go back, and he said it started building in the second year, and then he allowed him to go to the sixth year.
Yeah.
It seems strange that here he is so aggressive on it.
Okay, I hear you. I don't know. Again, I only know a little bit of the timeline. I don't know the background well. Okay, it's fair. Fair questions. Okay, let's just wrap it up. Okay, so today we finished up. Now we have two basic arguments in terms of how we know that when dating a calendar based on the king, so the Jewish king follows the month of Nisan. How do I know that? So we have an approach by Rabbi Yochanan, which started on Beis Amud Beis and goes to Gimel Amud Aleph. And then we had an approach by Rabbi Lazar. Okay, and again, just the two basic approaches. Then the Gemara quotes on the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph, the statement of Rav Chista. Rav Chista says that's only true when it comes to Jewish kings. But when it comes to non-Jewish kings, they go by Tishrei. How do I know that? So we saw a historical account of Ezra Nehemiah. We looked at the Persian kings, and we noted that, based on the Pesukim, that they did not turn their calendar, turn the year of the king on Nisan, but rather the turn of the year comes in Tishrei. Okay, and we said a number of Pesukim for that. And then the final analysis was the last Persian king, called Daryavish, Koresh Artachshasta. The Gemara notes that because he was good, so they afforded him status of a Jewish king, and they counted by Nisan. And then the Gemara says, but at another point he soured. Come back tomorrow again. You're going to see something interesting regarding that pasuk that we quoted today in Sefer Nehemiah regarding the Shagel that was next to Daryavesh. Okay, come back tomorrow for that discussion, and we will continue.
Maybe he's celebrating another day.